On today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast, we are going to be playing a game of Would You Rather. Stay tuned and have some fun in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast. We're on our road to 3,000 subscribers. We're nearing 2,700 right now, so we're just over 300 subscribers away from our goal of 3,000 subscribers. So again, if you haven't already, head over there and help us reach our goal. I'd really appreciate it. So on today's episode, we are going to be having a lot of fun. We're going to be playing a game of Would You Rather, and we're going to be having Bryce Simon, host of the Pistons Pulse podcast, coming on to have fun with us here. Bryce, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm so excited for this episode. I want to apologize real quick. I'm sure my voice sounds raspy to you and the listeners. Summer workout started for us, and we've been getting after it. Football practice, basketball practice, summer weights, all that. So bear with me. I apologize for that aspect.
That's fine. I've had a few episodes where I've just been, you know, my voice hasn't been all the way there. I know how it goes. Especially, I couldn't imagine as a coach. I don't know how you don't be losing your voice more often with you being a coach and everything. So
yeah, it goes in and out. Usually, like the first week of every season, that happens. And I feel like I have a pretty laid back demeanor, especially on the podcast. You know, when I record with you, but I tend to get pretty intense whenever it comes to coaching. And so I have a little bit of a different personality whenever I get competitive.
Fair enough. I feel it. I can see that competitors come out every now and then when people start challenging.
You coming at me on Twitter the other day. I might go to the gym right now. I'm up here at the school anyway. I might have to go get some jumpers up right out. I'm in my slides. I might do it anyway.
I'll take the L on that one. I don't want the smoke over there. I don't want the smoke. All right, so let's go ahead and have some fun. Me and Bryce, literally this entire episode, we're just going to be asking each other fun would you rather questions, but I'm not going to lie. Some of these, I'm putting Bryce on the spot, including this very first one. So Bryce, we can both answer both the, if I ask you, would you rather, we both can answer the same thing your way. But this one right here, this one's one that I don't think you're going to like me asking you. You're not going to like having to talk about this. And to be honest, I said on a recent podcast that I don't really want to entertain it either, but I feel like it would get you a little worked up. Okay. Would you rather have Dwayne Casey or Ime Udoka?
Ime Udoka.
So these latest, like, are you aware of, like, the recent reports?
I saw the other day that what he was a finalist whenever Coach Casey got hired. And, I mean, and people brought up good points. Like, you know, Ime Udoka has been able to coach Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, which Coach Casey hasn't. Like, I just personally love the way Coach Udoka coaches. Like, he gets after those dudes. I don't know, maybe I don't watch enough NBA games, but every time I watch the Celtics play, I just love that he challenges those guys. He holds them accountable, and maybe other coaches do it in a different way, but I guess, like, kind of we just talked about, that's my style. I'm very intense, I'm very aggressive in that way, and so I gravitate to coaches. That's the people who coached me in college were that way. This is nothing against Coach Casey. I think he's doing a fine job, you know, growing these young men, but I like Ime Udoka.
Yeah, I'm also going to take Udoka. So the thing is, I said on the recent podcast with you guys, man, that I'm not going to sit here and spend too much time on this, even though I know a lot of people were like, oh my God, you could have had Udoka when the reports came, or when his quote came out that he finished second place for the Pistons. I believe it was the Pistons. Was it the Bulls? It was the Pistons, Bulls, and Cavs.
It was like,
I think,
three
it was.
Teams, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So he said he finished second with three of those teams, and one of them were the Pistons. So I'm not going to spend too much time on it. That was just a fun thing. I was going to try to get Bryce tricked. I was going to try, honestly, trick Bryce into saying something negative about Dwayne Casey, but it didn't work. Who knows how it would have went differently if Udoka was here. I don't think you see much of a results difference. And is Udoka as good of a coach if he's having to coach these young guys and all this stuff? Maybe those 4 years that he took extra coaching really helped him to be ready for this job at Boston. You never know. But I think right now, I think it's clear. I don't think it's a hot take to say that Udoka's probably a better coach than Dwayne Casey. And that's not even, like Bryce said, I'm not a big fan of Dwayne Casey, but that's not even a dig at Dwayne Casey. Udoka seems like one of the best coaches in the entire NBA right now. So I think it's very clear that everyone would probably want Udoka and probably would want that one back, in my opinion. But go ahead, Bryce. You can go ahead and ask yours now.
Let's just stay on the coaching front because I have one of those. It was. I put mine in order. Who knows this? I make my, I write my little notes. My old man self writing my notes down. It was number third on my list, but let's stay with it. Would you rather have another year schematically of the same offense we saw last season or the same defense we saw last season? Schematically, obviously the results will be different based on personnel, but schematically, the same offense or the same defense?
You're killing me.
Yes. You thought you were going to get out of this segment without any Coach Casey slander, and you're not going to.
Oh, God, that's a tough one.
Well, he thinks about it. For the listeners, defensively, I think Koo knows I'm saying the switch everything.
Yeah.
You know, soft switches. I know Hal has talked a lot about this on Twitter with you and all of those things. And then offensively, we've talked about just wanting to see – that's Rex Kalamian. I mean, that's my impression anyway. Offensively, it's Coach Casey, and it's more of just like wanting to see more creativity with the X's and O's.
I think my answer would have to be I'd rather see the same defensive strategy because I feel like at least the thing is that at least with the roster that they had last year, if you subbing out Corey Joseph and having Killian Hayes in there, I think at the very least you at least have like personnel to somewhat do it. Like, I don't believe that they should be doing it every single time and just doing it without like regard of who they're actually switching with. But at least on defense with that personnel, at least you somewhat have the personnel to get it done, or at least try to get it done. I can't handle another year of the offense. The lack of creativity on offense, I would not be able to handle it. I believe I had you on the podcast during the season. I think the most creative like props I gave Dwayne Casey was against Utah when Cade went out there and just hunted the mismatch on Bogdanović and they just went five out. And that was right there is what I called like the most creative stuff I saw all last year. And for most teams, that's not creative at all. That's just like basic offense. So I could not do another year of the bland offense. So if I had to pick one, it'd have to be the defense.
Yeah, I think I agree. And Isaiah Stewart, right? If he's going to play big minutes for this team again, he's a very switchable big man. So the defense kind of makes sense. I would like to see a little more creativity there. But I want to see it offensively. We tweeted the other day about the Killian Hayes whole ball screen, short roll, let him be a playmaker thing. Just little touches like that. And it'll be interesting with the draft pick and free agency and some new additions, possible new additions to this team. Well, maybe even more pressure on Coach Casey to do some of that stuff.
All right. So let me ask you, this is just a quick fun one. Then we'll get into the ad break. This is just simply a Bryce question right here. And this may get Bryce in trouble with Pistons fans. Would you rather have Piston Allen Iverson or Memphis Grizzlies Allen Iverson? Which one would you?
I can't have Philadelphia 76er Allen Iverson.
No. You have to.
The answer.
You got to take one of the. You got to take one of the ones at the very end.
I mean, I guess Pistons Allen Iverson just because this is what I do now, and Allen Iverson's my all-time favorite player. I just hate bringing it up because Pistons fans crush me. I don't get crushed very often yet. I'm not big enough yet to get crushed for some of my takes. But anytime I bring up Allen Iverson being my favorite player, people are like, he was awful, that trade, all of that stuff. But man, Allen Iverson was amazing. So I'll join the two, my favorite player of all time with the Detroit Pistons, my favorite team right now, and mesh it together. So Detroit Pistons, Allen Iverson.
Fair enough. Everyone go let Bryce know how you guys feel about that one. When we come back, we'll have some more fun with some of these would you rather questions. If you guys want to play along with us, you guys can go in the comment section down below, ask us a question, would you rather. You can tweet Bryce at Motor City Hoops, or you can tweet me at Kuka Hill. We'll have some fun with it. So again, if you guys want to participate, you guys can do one of those things. But first, before we continue, I had to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning, like is your Odyssey an LX, and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home or in your pocket by using your phone. Save time and money when you're using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store, but only $216 from Rock Auto. Rock Auto is a family business that's been doing it for over 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every single customer, and they have everything you could possibly need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even a new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find a solution to your auto part needs. So again, go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Again, go to rockauto.com and type Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And real quick, I have an important favor to ask of you guys. We've put together a survey so we can learn more about what the listeners like you guys like and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us that what you like and don't like about Locked On Podcast. Go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey right now to get started. It won't take very long, and everyone that completes the survey can qualify for a chance to win one of 10 $100 Ticketmaster gift cards. To take our audience survey, go to lockedonpodcast.com/survey. Thanks for all of you guys' help. And again, you guys will be entered into, you know, a possible chance of winning a $100 Ticketmaster gift card if you guys go and do that. So I'd really appreciate, Locked On, really appreciate if you guys did that for us as well. All right, Bryce, go ahead. You go, go with your rather crush question.
Okay, so Cade Cunningham, and this is more of what type of player you want him to be, but I'm going to use stats to play the game. Would you rather Cade Cunningham average 10 assists per game for his career or be a 27 points per game for his career player?
I think I'd take the 27 points per game. I think that I don't think Cade would have to average high assists a game to leverage his passing and really be a dominant player. I think him being a legitimate elite scorer in the NBA, he can get away with just averaging 27-7 or 27-6. And if his scoring is that good, he just needs to be a good enough passer to leverage his scoring and create opportunities for others, which we already know that's the case. So if he got his scoring to that level, I would be fine with him just, you know, hovering around like 6 assists a game. I know the reason why it's not higher is because he's elite scorer and able to create stuff for himself.
Yeah, I thought coming in, he was going to be more of the pass first guy, facilitate. And through his rookie season, I'm still interested if it was out of necessity based on the roster, but it looked like he's trending more towards the 25, 27 point a game guy. And so I do think that guy's probably more valuable in the league as well. So that's where I would go. But I would just be interested to know what people thought. If some people do want to see him more in the facilitator role, or if everybody sees him as this big time elite scorer.
So actually, just stay on that real quick. I think that's an incredibly interesting topic because I agree with you. Like, I feel like as the season went on more, he started to become more aggressive and looking for his shot more as the season went on. Like, and I am interested to see if that's, and it's not a negative, it's not a bad or good thing. That's not what we're saying. I just want to see if that was him more like realizing, okay, like, no diss to my teammates, but they're just not like the offensive guys that on the squad. So now I have to try and make up for this, or we're really just not going to have a chance to do anything out here. So I'm really going to be interested to see this upcoming year if he kind of like backs off a little bit, not like passive. I still want him to be aggressive, but I you guys get what we're saying. I want to see if he continues to try to be, you know, it seemed like he was taking more of a, what's the word? Like the bull from the horn by the horn. Like he was really trying to make everything happen and he wanted to be the guy that does everything. I want to see if that continues next season, even if they improve the roster. I think that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, and I think how they improve the roster may give us that answer as well, right? Depending on who they draft or who they go after in free agency can kind of tell us that a little bit. Also, if it's a guy that's a true bucket getter, and maybe they strike out, so we may not get the true answer. I think the actual games will really tell us that. But he definitely, you know, looked to score his own a little bit more than what I anticipated. I saw him a little bit more as a facilitator coming into the league than what he ended up being if you looked at his season in totality. Now that, don't get me wrong, he's a really good passer. He's unselfish. I'm not saying that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I get you. All right. So I'm going to do this one, but I'm going to give you a little bit of a backdrop here before I ask it. So we just started our Locked On Ultimate Mock Draft. You guys remember that from last year, where we make our picks, send in a video. It gets into a big episode. You can make trades. You can trade people around, get more picks, sell your pick. Like, you can do all those things in this Ultimate Mock Draft. I just made my pick today. I'm not telling you guys who I picked, but this question should give you guys a little bit of insight about what's going on. So, Bryce, here we go. Would you rather trade Jeremy Grant for Charlotte's number 13 and number 15 pick along with Gordon Hayward, or trade Jeremy Grant for 14 and Colin Sexton?
Ooh. 13 and 15 and Gordon Hayward, or 14? I think I'm going to do 14 and Colin Sexton. Okay. I do. I like having 13 and 15, but I can mess with Colin Sexton a little bit. I know we went through a whole episode on that. I don't think it's a perfect fit. I can mess with that. And the 14 pick, I'd have to look at Gordon Hayward's contract a little bit more. But
I have it right here.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So this upcoming season, he's going to be getting paid $30 million. And then next season is his final year at 31.5.
I hate to do – I know people are going to say this is – it also depends on what Colin Sexton is actually going to want. We've talked about this as well. You know, you get Colin Sexton at the right price, and that's a pretty good asset, even if it doesn't end up working out with your team. I think I feel comfortable. I'll stick with the Cavs, 14 and Colin Sexton.
All right. I'm taking the Hornets trade. So let me give my answer here. I don't want to say I don't like Colin Sexton, but I think me and Bryce are probably in the same ballpark about questioning the fit and whether that would be a great player to go after in free agency. But in these two hypotheticals here, this is what I'm thinking. You get two first round picks for Jeremy Grant. I think that's insane value. I think you're getting great value. And both of them are damn near lottery picks. One of them is a lottery pick. One of them is one outside the lottery pick. So you're basically getting two lottery picks for Jeremy Grant. I know the comeback's going to be, well, is it really for Jeremy Grant? You're taking Gordon Hayward's contract. Let me tell you guys where I stand with this. This is why I don't care about the contract. One, I'm not really – I've told you guys, I'm not big into the Pistons trying to make a big move this offseason. Unless it's DeAndre Ayton, I do not want them to take a big swing. So this is what I'm thinking. If you take Gordon Hayward's contract, let's say he doesn't play more than 40 games each season. He plays 38 games each year. Okay, well, he doesn't play. You play more of your young guys. He takes up a contract, your cap space this year, when I don't really want you to be spending a lot of money. Then he's coming off the books next season in a much deeper free agency class where the Pistons should be in a better opportunity to, or not, he doesn't come up with next year, but it's going to be like the following. You guys know what I'm saying. Young guys will be 1 year ahead. He'll be an expiring contract. You may be able to flip it. I know expiring contracts in that, you know, I feel like Gordon Hayward is a better player than, I know the comparison will be Russell Westbrook, but I think the bigger concern isn't the fact that Russell Westbrook is an expiring contract. It's that he's not a good basketball player. I think people would be more willing to take a chance on Gordon Hayward, the player, being healthy with his expiring contract. But even if that doesn't happen, Gordon Hayward on the team, again, if you don't want to play him a lot of minutes, if he doesn't play 38 games, you just continue to play young guys, then his contract comes off the books. Now you can use your money to re-sign some of your guys, the young guys who will be coming up in that year. You can sign some free agents, etc. That's the bad scenario. That's the bad case scenario. It's a good case scenario. Gordon Hayward's able to play some minutes. He's able to stay healthy. He's a damn good player when he's healthy. Now you've done improved your team while also getting two lottery picks. So I don't see what. And also, you can put him on the bench. You can bring him off the bench if that's the case. If you want to start, let's say they get Keegan Murray or something. You want to start him. Bring him off the bench. And if he plays well and he stays healthy, you'll be able to trade him. I think Gordon Hayward's the biggest question with him. It's not his play. Everyone knows he's a damn good player, but if he stays healthy. So if he's staying healthy throughout a year, let's say at the deadline he hasn't gotten hurt, he's playing extremely well, I think you could honestly flip him too. So I don't think it's a bad deal. I'd take the Charlotte one.
No, I don't think it's a bad deal either, and you make up a good point. Like, you get 13 and 15, so you get two cracks at it right there, and you got to believe that you're going to hit on one of those, or, you know, somebody's going to fall in that range is pretty good. So that's what makes it a good question is having both of those. I think I'd still take the Cavs. I understand your side of it, but I think Colin Sexton and his ability to score. I know a lot of people don't like the fit at all. And, you know, the defensive concerns, I get it. But you're getting a guy that, you know, averaged 20-plus in the NBA already, plus you're still getting a lottery selection, again, depending on what the contract for Sexton would be.
Yeah, I think both those trades, the insight here into the mock draft here, those are some trades that I'm weighing here. Those are some trades that I'm going to be trying to offer. So I'd be cool with either one, to be honest. But if I had to choose, I'd go Charlotte, but I don't blame Bryce or anyone else that would also want the Cavs one instead. But Bryce, go ahead. We'll let you get one in here right here.
All right. Would you rather get one title from the Pistons over the next 20 years, but it's followed up by 19 losing seasons, or 20 straight years in the playoffs, but they never win a title? So you get one title in the next 20 years, but it's followed by 19 straight losing seasons. Or you make the playoffs all 20 years, but there's no title.
So in those 20 years, could they be in the finals? They just lose?
Yes.
We seeing them?
Maybe not every year, but yeah, there's probably some deep runs in there. It's not like a first round exit every year, but there's not a title in it.
All right, so this is the tough. I hate Bryce, dude. So this is the tough part about this.
How title hungry are you, Coop?
So this is the tough part about this. If the Pistons won one title and then sucked for 19 straight years, I'd have to assume that they would be nonstop talking about how lucky that one title was. Something had to have went wrong. Something like it. Oh, God, dude.
Think how bad the drafting would have to be for you to be that bad for 19. Because eventually you're getting first pick, third pick, fifth, and you flame on all of it.
You know how bad of suffering that would be for like 19 straight years and just
how title hungry are you?
Oh my goodness!
Or do you want to live just right in there? Conference finals, conference semifinals, NBA title or NBA finals, but lose.
Okay.
You want to take the title so bad?
I do, man. But let me do the math here. So they won in 88-89, and then it took them 15 years to win again in 2004. So from 2004, it's been 18 years already. It's been 18 years since the last title. It's been like 13 years of straight up just straight garbage.
So you get one, and then it's 19 more years of it.
Nah, I'm sorry. I had to take the 20 years. I had to take the 20 years of just consistent play. Guys, listen, you guys may kill me for that. You guys may hit me with the Detroit's about winning titles. We're not about this. But listen, dude, I've sat here through 13 years of straight garbage. I could not sit through 19. I can't even – I could barely make it right now. There's no way I would survive for 19.
I knew you couldn't do 19 years of it. I should have made it I should have done 15 and made it a little tougher. For the record, I would take the 20 years in the playoffs as well. There would be a lot of heartbreak, but that's a lot of winning and a lot of being successful.
And you're 19, building a good culture too with that. Like
19 losing seasons – it's hard to get through something like that.
Bro, no. I could God. So look, I came so close to taking the title and then I came so close. But then literally just doing the math, remembering, damn, I've been doing this since 2009. Imagine having another 6 more years of just straight dog water. Like, nah, I can't. I couldn't do it. And even in these last 13 years, we've had a little sprinkle.
I was gonna say there's been a little bit, right?
There's been a little bit. Like, God, 19 years? Nah, I can't do it. Sorry, y'all. Y'all can get mad at me all you want. I couldn't do it. Nah, I couldn't. No way. All right. When we come back, we'll answer some more Would You Rather questions. Again, you guys can participate with us in the comment section down below on YouTube, or you can tweet either of us, Bryce at Motor City Hoops or me at Kook Hill. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your sports betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action today. If you head over there to betonline.net right now, you'll see, again, it's not just basketball and football and baseball. You got boxing, you got golf, you got hockey, horse racing, martial arts, soccer, tennis, and much more. And if you head over to the basketball selection, obviously we're in the NBA Finals. The series has not started yet. The Golden State Warriors are slight favorites, according to BetOnline, at minus 164. I'm taking the Warriors. I'm riding with them. I've been riding with them all playoffs. I've been telling you guys to take them. I'm taking the money line, minus 164. Don't blame anyone who takes the plus 144 for Boston. This really is going to be a coin flip of a series. But for me, I'm taking that minus 164 money line with the Golden State Warriors. I think they're pulling this out. But that's the kind of thing you can do over at betonline.net. Again, make sure you head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends in action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate it. It's the best way to support the podcast on a road to 3,000 subscribers. Continuing to show Lockdown that we are the best and fastest growing fan base at the Lockdown Network. All right, Bryce, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
I got another one that I think will be interesting for you. Let me hit you with this one.
All right, go ahead.
Would you rather the Pistons bring back Blake Griffin, Sekou Doumbouya, or Stanley Johnson?
Are we talking about like...
Okay, so two of those guys legit can be brought back. Stanley Johnson actually has a club option with the Lakers.
So we're talking about like in their current state right now.
Yeah, yeah, for this next season.
Sekou.
Really? Not Stanley? Yeah. I thought Stanley was your guy.
So Stanley is my guy, but the thing is that Stanley has reached the point of no redemption now. There's no hope. I can't have any hope. There's no. Oh well, you know he's only 20. Oh, he has a chance to improve still. He has to like. Stanley is what he is, and it would have killed me to watch him now. Because back then, I would watch him and be like, look, I can see it. He can be a good player. I can see it now. It's done. He is what he is. Blake is just so washed. It was painful to me to watch him. With the Pistons his final year. It sucked to watch.
How crazy was it this year with the Nets? Like, we all got mad when he left Detroit, went to Brooklyn, all of a sudden had legs back. And then it's like he came back for this season and nothing. It wasn't there. Like, it's over, I feel like, for Blake. I mean,
no, yeah,
in most sincere way. Like, I'm being serious. Like, it seems like it's over. And he's had a great career, but it does kind of suck for him.
Yeah, it would just suck to watch Blake in a Pistons uniform. It was I've said multiple times that Blake 18-19 was my favorite Piston of all time. Watching him come back that next year and just not be that same player and just incapable of doing anything, it literally was sad to watch. It was like, for me, it literally was sad. So I think I'd have to take Sekou. I mean, Sekou's still young. I don't think he'd get a chance to improve really anyways. I think he probably would still end up in the same scenario, but I feel like he's the only one out of those three that I still would like be able to root for.
All right.
Fair enough. All right. So let me ask you this one right here. You're going to see a trend with my questions. My questions are all, you know, relatively the same topic. All right. Would you rather extend Jeremy Grant to a 4-year, $115 million extension, or would you rather trade him for a late first round pick? And for example, I'll throw one out to you right now. And again, we have the ultimate mock draft. You guys can read into these how you want. The Memphis Grizzlies have the 22nd pick and the 29th pick. Would you rather trade him for a late lottery pick, or no, not lottery, late first round pick, or extend him this offseason to 4 years, $115 million.
Let me bring up, I had the exact same question on
for
my
real?
Sheet. Yes, I had okay. Grant on the roster for the entire year, or trade him for a late first round pick plus cap filler. So I had the exact same question. I just marked it off because I knew we were running out of time and I was only going to get to so many. So am I getting 22 and 29 or just one of those?
You know, I'll give it to you. You get 22 and 29, but I think there has to be, there would obviously, I'm pretty sure Memphis
there has to be,
I
mean, money.
Yeah. They'd have to be cap wise. Let me pull up their cap sheet while you decide.
Portland.
I'm pretty
sure
you almost definitely would have to have like money matching.
Yeah, because Portland has the TPE, where that's why it could just be the pick for Grant, and there doesn't have to be salary matching in that one. I
think the Pistons could probably take – I think – you know what? Go ahead. Keep going. I'm going to do a trade machine with it.
I feel like I'm undervaluing him if I trade him for 22 and 29. Am I undervaluing him?
I don't know, man. Do you think you are? All right, so real quick, it would be a success if they traded Kyle Anderson and those two picks for Jeremy Grant. It would be a success.
Oh, I love Slo-Mo too. Slo-Mo's
he's making $14.9 million.
How many years left on his contract?
He's actually an unrestricted free agent. So I don't know. You would be able to trade him before free agency, I believe it. Let me do it right here. But either way, you'd be able – that just lets you know they can take on like $7 million in cap space.
Okay. This was – touche.
What?
No, like, good job. Good question.
Oh, fair enough. Thank you.
I'm going to say yes, and I know I'm going to get cooked for this. I'm going to get cooked. I knew driving up to the school to record this, I'm like, I'm going to say something that people are going to cook me in the comments or on Twitter, and it's going to be this one, I feel like. I feel like I've skated by so far, but trading Grant for 22 and 29 – I feel like there's going to be some good value in this draft there. It doesn't seem like enough, but I don't know. What are you going to do?
You already know what I'm doing.
You're trading him.
Yes.
Are you trading him for 22 only?
Yes.
Okay.
And even I'm on Fanspro right now. They actually would let you just trade Jeremy for 29 and 22 straight up without filler. I'm telling you this right now. I would take 22 and 29 for Jeremy. I would take 22 for Jeremy. And I would take 29 and like Culver for Jeremy.
So that's the thing. I think if they added another like Jarrett Culver or somebody like that, that makes it even more enticing to do that. I really do, not to get into the weeds of the draft. I know that's not what this episode is about. I think there's going to be some players in this range at 22 and 29 that you could get excited about for the Pistons to take. So I think that plays into it a little bit as well. I'm not as keen on having to trade Jeremy Grant as some other people. So that's where my hesitancy is. But it's still two first-round picks, even though it's at the end of the first.
So I'm going to give you guys a little insight here. And I saw a lot of this going on. I'm sure Bryce will back this up. Just going to give you guys a little insight. Around this time of year, just like last year and every year, around this time of year, you hear so much stuff. You hear so many different things. And it's not to say one person's wrong or one person's lying or one person's like, it's none of that. It's just you are hearing so many different things at this time of year. And you don't know what to believe, what not to believe, what actually has like legit of a chance, blah, blah. Where I'm getting to is from everything I've heard thus far. And again, I'm not saying that I'm right, or I'm not saying everything I've heard is right. Because again, you hear so many different things, and there's so many different motivations for why you'll hear certain things. And it's really just a game. It's a game within the game, really. But from what I understand, from what I've heard so far, and again, it may be wrong, but I think a lot of Pistons fans and the Pistons themselves, I feel like Jeremy Grant's being incredibly overvalued. And it's not a coincidence that he wasn't traded to the deadline. If he doesn't end up traded this offseason, it won't be a coincidence there. I think he's being incredibly overvalued. And maybe that says, maybe they just signed Jeremy to the extension. Maybe they don't end up trading him. But I think that people are overvaluing Jeremy. And I think that is more around what I think the league looks at him. You can disagree with how the league looks at him. But at this point, on June 1st, I believe that based on everything I've heard thus far, that's probably closer to how the rest of the league views him, not what the Pistons view him.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, and I think that's why I struggle with it so much, Wes, who does the producing for the Pistons Pulse, he's part of Motor City Hoops with me, and he keeps telling me, like, Bryce, that Blazers trade is not realistic. Bryce, stop talking about Jeremy Grant for number seven. They can get somebody better than Jeremy Grant if they're going to trade for number seven. You know, whatever. He's like, you're overvaluing him. You got to lower your expectations on what Jeremy Grant's going to return in a trade. And I think, you know, over the last couple of days, I've started to do that, talking to him, talking to you, doing this. Like, all right, now it comes down to, is that good enough value, or is it better just to keep Jeremy Grant around for $28 million a season? Like, that's the thing I have to start weighing more now, I think, is 22 and 29 worth it, or are you better just keeping Jeremy Grant and being a part of this team?
Fair enough. It's definitely going to be a question that Torrey Reaver is going to have to figure out. Who knows where he'll end up. And, hey, maybe he gets someone to bite. Maybe he ends up getting someone to bite by playing this hardball with teams.
Yeah.
But, again, you're hearing so many different things. Who knows what's going to actually happen? We just have to wait and see. Bryce, you know, I know you thought we were running out of time, but I'm having a lot of fun, and I think the listeners are probably having a lot of fun. So we're going to go on for probably another 10 minutes. Let's keep it going.
All right. So, ask another one. Okay, so you know who Rafael Barlow is, right? Does
of course.
On. Okay, so in honor of Mike Schmitz getting hired by the Portland Trail Blazers front office, who would you rather the Detroit Pistons added to their front office? Mutual friend Richard Stamen at Mavs Draft on Twitter, Rafael Barlow, host of Locked On NBA Big Board, or Keith Smith?
For a specific just draft or just anything?
Well, so the Richard and Raphael would be your draft guys, and then Keith Smith you would hire, as some of you know, it would be your salary cap guru. Yep.
Do I get to take Richard and Raphael, or do I have to pick one of them?
Nope, you have to pick one. So there's do you need a draft guy? You got two draft guys. Do you think Keith Smith is the salary cap free agent guy? What do you think is more important? And then who's better between Richard and Raphael? I'm going to make you decide.
That last part you had to throw in there. So I'm not.
Part of the family, so this is going to be great.
I'm not going to say either one is better. I'm going to go by senior experience and go with Raphael.
Such a cop-out.
I'm going to go with senior experience. I'm going to go with my guy, Raphael, to go get hired by the Pistons. I'm taking the cop out.
Hey, Raphael's the GOAT, man. He's had a quick rise. Richard is my guy. Like, I do these breakdowns on my YouTube channel. He lets me put him on his website. But Keith Smith is the man.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This question, I was thinking, I was listening to his podcast. He's like, why is this guy not in an NBA front office? Why is, I would not be surprised if, like, maybe he's had offers and he just turned them down. I don't know, but he knows the ins and outs. He knows all of that stuff. Maybe it's more complicated than that, but he seems like he knows his stuff. And so I just think it would be cool as heck to have Keith Smith in the Pistons front office. But Richard and Raphael, I'd feel very comfortable if those guys were, you know, advising or giving insight to Troy Weaver on NBA draft stuff.
Absolutely. All right, Bryce, I know you have like four more on there. Go ahead. Let's keep knocking these out.
All right. Yep. I actually have three left, so we'll go quick here. Would you rather the Pistons for an entire season wore the teals, the reds, or the grays?
The red, by far.
I like the reds. The reds are tough.
The red is my favorite color. I was on the podcast for months saying, please just give me red. I miss the old red jerseys. I don't want the teal. I don't want the gray. Just give me some damn red. I think these red jerseys might be their best jerseys ever. I'm not going to lie.
I have no drip. I have no style, so I have no real opinion on this. So I'm glad that you enjoyed that question. All right, this next season, would you rather the Pistons finish in the ninth spot and lose that play-in game? But that would be at home at LCA, so you get a home, quote-unquote, playoff game, or finish dead last in 15th place in the East?
Oh, God.
Man, I did a better job than I thought. This was fun.
God, finish
home
last
playoff game. Oh, what?
Finish last. Yes, exactly. The next year's draft must be so deep, dude. Like, if we could just lose for one more year,
and get a home playoff game at LCA next year.
But is it really a playoff game? It's a play-in. Like, is it like, and if in losing it, what? what exactly is that home playoff game doing besides giving money to Tom Gore's pockets? Like, what exactly is that?
I think we would all be so juiced up for that.
Absolutely. We would all be there going crazy. But I think the better outlook is to go ahead and just suffer it up, you know, suck it up, take the losing, get 15, and then hopefully get Victor next year. I think that would be best.
All right, last one. This one's not as fun one. I should have done this one earlier, but who would you rather give above league average 3-point shooting to for the rest
Killian
of your
Hayes,
career?
Killian Hayes. So stop right there. For those of you guys on the podcast.
I forget not everybody gets to watch it. My bad.
He just flips his notebook behind him. It's Killian Hayes. I know Killian's on there. I know it's on there. I don't care who the other people are. It's Killian Hayes.
Killian Hayes or Isaiah Stewart.
Oh, no. Yeah, Killian Hayes. It is what it is. I'm taking Killian. It's simple as that. Actually, thanks for that question. I had one I wanted to ask you. I was just going to leave it alone. I was just going to have it, you know, I wasn't going to ask it, but now I'm putting you on the spot. Yeah, and you know that however you answer this, I'll stop being your friend. So, would you rather Killian Hayes hit, however you want to describe hit, in this next season, he turns out, okay, he actually improved. This is the improvement we saw last year was legit, and he looks like he was a hit at number 7. Or would you rather see Sadiq Bey take another step next season? Everyone knows my answer. It's Killian Hayes. And I'll give Bryce some time since he's looking at it. I'll give Bryce some time. This is my reason, besides being a Killian Hayes fan. I feel like Sadiq Bey, how good he was last year, even with minor improvements, would be good enough. I think Killian Hayes hitting would be a bigger change to the direction of the franchise if they could find – if they were able to hit on 7, Sadiq, Stu as a backup. With Sadiq, how he already is, I feel like having those guys – I feel like that would be a bigger impact than just having Killian Hayes bust and Sadiq take another step. I know Bryce is going to go the other way, though, but I want to give Bryce some time.
So I'm going to go the other way just for the sake of going the other way, because I think if you're saying Sadiq Bey takes another step, he's getting borderline a high-end number 3 option, low-end number 2 option, which this team doesn't currently have. And so I think that would be a huge value from Sadiq Bey. With that said, Killian Hayes, if Killian Hayes comes back next season with a 38% 3-point shot, like that's a huge get for the Pistons. That's a huge improvement. That's a huge hole you fill in the roster, because now he can play with Cade Cunningham in the backcourt, and especially with the way he defends. So I get what you're saying. Like, I do see the argument for Killian hitting, like you say, whatever that is. But I also could make an argument, like, if Sadiq Bey takes another step, man, you filled a huge void in the roster as well.
All right, quick explanation, because we're at 43 minutes, but just quick explanation. To you, just real quick, what would be hit in your head for Killian Hayes? Like, if someone says, like, let's say you got put in a coma 3 years from now, someone comes back to you and is like, bro, Killian Hayes hit. What are you thinking right there?
So he does what he's doing defensively. Like, he becomes the defensive player we all think he's going to be, right? And then, like I said, 37, 38, you know, whatever, 3-point shooter. And then just the aggressive mentality to the basket. So he's averaging 15 points a game. He's dishing out 3 or 4 assists, 5 or 6 rebounds, a couple steals, running the second unit as they stagger the minutes with Cade Cunningham. Like, that would be the ultimate hit for Killian Hayes for me. And I still think there's a world where that could happen.
All right, so to end the podcast, my hit, when I was thinking about it, my hit was 16, 17 points a game, 6 assists a game, like 5 rebounds a game. And I think he could get to like 43% from the field, 42, 43% from the field, and like 36, 37% from deep with his defense, how it is. That's what I'm considering hit with where he is.
And an all defensive.
Yeah, around like maybe not become. Yeah, maybe not get the award all defensive team, but be like that caliber of a defender.
Absolutely. Yep. We're on the same page with that.
Fair enough. All right. So this was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun doing this. Would you rather? We might have to, I might, you know what? Just because of how fun this went, I might have to get Bryce, Sham, and like Hal, just like mix up a bunch of guests and have like 4 people on at once and do a would you rather like panel. Like, this was a lot of fun. We might have to do something like that.
No doubt.
I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yes, sir.
But Thank you, Bryce, for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. Make sure you guys go follow him on Twitter at Motor City Hoops. Go ahead and check out their podcast over the Detroit Free Press. Pistons Pulse coming out every Tuesday, right?
Tuesday, yes, sir.
Every Tuesday. Make sure you guys are checking that out. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Make sure you guys are going to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hitting that subscribe button. I'd really appreciate. Make sure you guys are going to checking out Locked On NBA Big Board host Rafael Barlow, who we just brought up from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter, is joined by Richard Stamen, who we also just brought up, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Until the next one, I'll see you guys later. Let me know if you guys had fun with this podcast in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cookahill. And also, you guys can participate. Send us some questions with Would You Rather. We'll answer all of them. We'll try going in the comment section down below and answer some of them. Had a lot of fun with Bryce today on this podcast. Until the next one, though, enjoy the NBA Finals. I'll see you then. Peace out, everybody.